Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
I want to talk about this ESRI report, which highlights the burden mandatory school devices, things like your iPads, puts on families. How much have you had to pay for your child to access digital learning in schools across the country? Emer is with me on the line today. Emer, did you have to buy a device for your child?
Yes, when my son started first year in secondary school, we had to buy an iPad and the associated software and all of the keyboard, the cover and all that stuff. So it was well over €800 up front to start. Yeah.
A lot of money, isn't it?
Which is like a huge amount of money, yeah. And back then when he started, he's just finished third year. So when he starts first year, the free secondary school books hadn't come in. So that was on top of school books. Now, thankfully, at least, you know, your parents don't have to pay for the school books as well. But still, you know, 800, coming up to 900 when you get the cover, and you have to get monthly insurance as well because if the thing drops and breaks, you know, to replace it. So, you know, it's a huge amount.
So that's the iPad, it's the insurance, it's the iPad cover, it's all of the software that's required, everything all in and around the guts of about 800 to 900, Amy, you're talking about.
Exactly, yeah.
And that same iPad, is he now in third year? Is he still using the same equipment?
He is, thankfully. The iPad has survived. It had to get a new cover and keyboard. That didn't survive all the work on it, but that was only not too much. That was like €50 or something. But thankfully, the iPad itself has survived. It should potentially last him for up to the end of 6 years. So if we keep it, if it doesn't get wrecked, it'll be the same device. So when you spread it out over the 6 years, you know, that's grand, except that you have to pay it all at the beginning. So that's a huge burden. And then if parents have the next child coming a year or two later and maybe a third, you know, that's, they have to pay that again for each one. You know, it's a huge burden. It's a burden on families and parents that don't have that sort of money. You know, you've got the other costs. You might have the uniform, or you might have, you know, travel costs and food. There's a food village in the school, so they, you know, get to buy lunches if they want. A huge amount of other things, but yeah, like the free books would have been brilliant if that took away the cost of, you know, the textbooks, the learning, the stuff that you need. But just that doesn't help, because now everything is done through the iPad or a laptop. The school has actually changed the laptops now, and I'm not sure how much that costs, but I'm sure it's about the same.
So the first year you needed the iPad and the books, but now as time has gone on, you don't need the same level of textbook to accompany the iPad.
Well, you don't have to now buy the books because there's a free school books. The government are paying for the school books, but you still have to pay. You've already paid for the iPad and all those books. They have their e-book version on the iPad. So they access nearly everything through the iPad, which is, you know...
Out of curiosity, did everybody in the class buy it when he started? They all had it, did they?
Everybody had to buy it, yeah. Yeah, it had to be. It was mandatory. You couldn't access the class, you couldn't access learning if you didn't have it. Now, the school did put out in the newsletter to say, you know, if those families that had financial difficulties, get in touch with them. So, you know, that would have been a private thing, and I don't know what they did. Maybe they helped, or maybe gave, you know, time to pay. But absolutely every child had to have one, yeah.
We're talking about this today, Emer, because this is really the first major review of the digital device programme that's in place in schools across the country by the ESRI, the Economic and Social Research Institute. And what they seemed to find was that those sort of compulsory one-to-one device purchases, like what your son had to have, that and their use has become so embedded within the post-primary school system at the moment. And there seems to be some concern that without, you know, some kind of strategic intervention, that this ongoing expansion of digital learning, particularly around the Leaving Cert, you know, that it could actually risk deepening the already existing inequalities that exist within the Irish education system. Do you have any concerns around that?
I do. I absolutely do. Because a huge amount of people just couldn't afford that sort of level of having to buy Laptops and iPads and all that stuff. And it's a specific, it's not just, oh, you can get a cheaper, you know, tablet somewhere and use that. It's a specific device. You must get that iPad, and it's tied to the company that delivers it because they put the software on it. So, you know, there's a set price. You couldn't go and say, oh, well, I can get a secondhand one somewhere. You have to buy that one. So many families couldn't afford that. It's huge. So they're not going to maybe go to that school. Or if they go, then, you know, they're struggling with it, paying for that where they can't, you know, take money from other things, bills that they need to be paying. It's a huge barrier to families. And if you've got more than one kid, two, three, they all have to have it. It's a huge burden. And it's a worry. It's a worry. The whole thing, the school books, free school books, that was a weight taken off families, because now you didn't have to pay the €400 or more that it was for the books. On top of the other stuff, 400, crazy money. But that was taken away, and that was brilliant. But now they've got this even bigger charge that they have to. And if all the schools are using that, you know, what children and families who can't afford that, what are they supposed to do? That's a huge worry. And it's going to be a burden and a barrier to children going to certain schools, you know, maybe getting into, a school that's maybe more academic. If you've got a child who's more academic, you want to get into that good school, but you can't go there because of the cost of all this extra stuff. It's a barrier to families with low incomes.
Stay with me, Eimear, if you can, for a few moments. It's 1800 453 106 is the number, because I want to bring in Owen Dolan. Owen is a principal. Are you a principal of a secondary school, Owen, is it?
I'm principal of a primary school.
Primary school. And are the iPads or any of the kind of the digital learning devices, are they a feature in your school?
Yeah, probably not as much of a feature as we'd like. Like, we only have 50 iPads for 500 students. So, you know, you don't need to be an expert in maths. That doesn't give much scope for using, you know, you probably have two classes using it at any given time. Like, whilst I wouldn't like to see a one-to-one iPad ratio in schools, because I do think we need, like, if you look at the Swedish model, they're trying to move away from using technology back to sort of more involved in nature and, you know, textbooks and copies as well. And I do think there's a benefit there, but there is a lack of investment. And I think what your previous caller has illustrated is, you know, if you're having a situation where it's a mandatory purchase for parents, like we're at their school, it would not be possible in our school. It just wouldn't be feasible. So then you're already putting families under serious pressure. And I do think we need to balance this. I do think we need more investment. Like, the ICT grant, you know, barely keeps what you have initially up and running. Like, if an interactive whiteboard goes, that's four and a half thousand straight away. And every class needs that. In a school like mine, you probably have 3 or 4 whiteboards meeting their end at a time each year. So just to update them, get new whiteboards in. Like, we're not putting the investment. So, like, I do think, like, a school like ourselves needs more iPads. I don't think one-to-one iPads is the way to go. I do think, like, all the studies show, even in regards to well-being, you know, sometimes it's really beneficial for the children not to be interacting with technology all the time as well, because they're doing a lot of that at home as well. But I do think it's also, on the flip side, it is important for us as teachers to be able to show the children how they can engage with technology for educational benefits or well-being benefits as well.
Steve is with us on the line too, Owen. Steve, do your children, do they have to have iPads or laptops? Is it mandatory in your school?
It's mandatory, yeah. And my eldest son has actually, he's left secondary education now, but I think that our secondary school was, if not the first country to do a full rollout of it, or the first school in the country to do it, but it was definitely in the first wave of it. And this was over 10 years ago, and it was with, you know, coming into first year, like, we all know the cost is shocking. I mean, when you add up with the uniforms and everything else, it was over €1,000 hitting people straight away. And, you know, when schools say, you know, it's in the newsletter, if you're having financial difficulties, just contact us and we'll see what we can do for you. That's incredibly embarrassing for anyone to have to ring up and contact the school and go, actually, no, I can't afford that. And whether they can help fully or not, I mean, nobody wants to have to make that call, or nobody wants to have to contact the school about that. But the other side of it, as Owen was saying there, the Swedish model, they're moving away from these screens because they've noticed a marked, like, a massive deterioration in reading and writing comprehension skills because of students who are studying through a tablet. And the fact we all know, every adult in this country now, or most of us, recognize that too much screen time for young people is bad. So you try and control the screen time at home. But if people are working from a laptop or from an iPad in school, and then they pick up their phone and they're looking at their phone and then they're doing whatever, screens are like absolutely taking over their lives. But also, and the other thing is with the iPad, like was for the very first year when my son got it, as your first caller there said, that there weren't free school books. And what they did was you have to buy the iPad and you have to buy your school books. And the school books are there and you're going, well, why do you need the iPad if you have the school books? And that's the thing. And it got to a stage where, you know, if you look at it now, like even something simple, suppose your kid wants to go on to third level education. Right? They're not going to be using an iPad. Mm. They're going to be using a laptop. Like certain countries, I know that like Japan, Singapore, they have BYOD, which is bring your own device. So you can bring your device from home, so that saves a lot of money. Now, you will get schools arguing. They go, well, then we don't know what they're using these, you know, what else they could be bringing in on their laptop, and we couldn't, you know, keep it secure and everything else. It doesn't help. Like, just hearing Owen there, because when he first said he was a primary school teacher or primary school principal, my first thought was, please tell me that primary school kids aren't exclusively using iPads. But then he clarified, and it was great because I was thinking, can you imagine if primary school kids were doing the exact same as secondary school kids? No one would learn how to write correctly anymore. And if it's affecting reading comprehension as well, I mean, it's failing kids' education and it's crippling people financially. It's a bad idea across the board.
Do you agree with that, Owen? Is it failing children's education?
I think so, you know, I believe so. And I also think like that people must remember, in a case where we have mandatory purchasing of iPads or laptops, that is a school's decision. So a school has made that conscious decision. And, you know, that maybe that parents should look at whether that's something that they want for their child. And a previous caller said, like, oh, if you want to go to a good school or academic school, that's something we need to move away from, because, you know, that's almost classing that their schools aren't good schools and there can't be good academic outcomes from these schools, you know. And I do think it's really important, as the previous college has said, like, we do need to, like, obviously devices are part, you know, this day and age. And
I'm just going to reconnect with you, Owen, if you don't mind, just because your phone line isn't great there, or it's just dropped ever so slightly. Amy is on the line. Amy, you're a secondary school teacher and a parent. Do you agree with mandatory school devices?
Well, as a parent of three, and my kids are still quite small, and my two oldest are actually twins, so I will face the expense of having to buy.
You have a lot of expense.
At the same time. Yeah, like, I would love it both ways, whereby I would like to say, oh, no mandatory devices. But also, I see the benefit of, like, the education system looks quite different now from when I did my Leaving Cert and Junior Cert. We have a combination of research projects and classroom assessments and then the final state exams. So, for example, in my own classroom, it was such a blessing when we got the free textbooks and that. So when we would be teaching in, we'll say, my subject of Irish, the poetry, the prose, we'd use the book. All the students would have the workbook and the whole class had them and had access to them because we got them through the funding. And then when it would come to the 3 weeks of the year where they would complete their Gaeilge CBAs, which is the classroom-based assessment, all six classes in my school would be on at the same time. So we'd be looking for access to 180 free working devices at once. Now, my own school's IT infrastructure is extremely well managed, but at the same time, you would get an iPad trolley and it would have 30 devices in it. And you just might have 31 in your class and they're all in that day. Two devices aren't working. Two are going through an 8-hour update. One isn't charged. And then you suddenly have about five students who've no device. And when they start sharing the device, then the work rate goes down and some of them are bored and then they start chatting. Mm. And from this September and the September after, the additional assessment components for Leaving Cert are coming in and they're being rolled out over the next few years. 40% of the majority of Leaving Cert subjects will have a project or a classroom assessment component, and they'll be looking for access to devices. So on our limited school devices, and I say limited, it wouldn't appear limited to if you heard that we have three computer rooms and four device trolleys, but at any one time we have 38 classes on and we're not a DESH school. So that serious funding needs to go into schools
and to try and reduce those inequalities. There's an interesting text here, Amy, from a listener who says, I just don't understand why they can't use second-hand technology because I'm a software developer and all of my own tech is second-hand. 12-year-olds don't need this first-hand technology and devices.
I think it might differ from school to school. For example, one of our trolleys of laptops actually was kindly donated from a tech company, and the IT support in our school, they wiped down the devices for them, put on our school iPads, and it was a donation to the school that we are very grateful for. I think that we need to look at it as a society as a whole and say, this is what our education system looks like now. Let establishments know, such as credit unions and banks, that there's a need and demand for low-interest IT loans. Maybe entrepreneurs might look at branching into education device rental. The library services around the country, they might have ideas how they can support us. It does differ from school to school. We don't have mandatory devices. We don't have specific that they must have this. We're doing the best in our school with what we have. Okay. We've utilised all the grants we can. We do have software that we've used our IT grant to put onto all our devices. Yeah. We have weekly on-site IT supports. And despite our best efforts, we just regularly cannot meet our IT needs.
1800 453 106 is the number. I just want to bring Mary in very quickly here, Amy, as well. Amy, you've been listening to the discussion. You got in touch today. You feel it should be iPads for everybody or nobody. Is Mary with me?
I am. Sorry.
How are you, Mary?
Amy. Sorry, I'm very good. Thank you. No, I was just listening there and they were very interesting. But I was just thinking, we have a constitution and that says that all children must be created equal. And yet there's no equality as far as I can see. I cannot understand how in this day and age, some schools, because of the families being low income, cannot have the same advantages as other children. Surely to goodness, the government can plough some of the money that seems to be available for other things into DESH schools, so-called DESH schools, and into low-income schools, or as that previous caller said, which I think was a wonderful idea, low-interest credit union loans, or that banks would allow for people with low income to maybe borrow for computers, because it is so important for children to be technically competent and nowadays, especially children who might have difficulty writing.
There's only about, from this ESRI report that's out today, there's only about 30%, they say, approximately 30% of the 720 post-primary or secondary schools across the country either have mandatory or strongly structured device purchasing arrangements in place for students. Is there a reason, Amy, as a teacher, that the take-up is so low? Because not every school has this. It's only 30%.
Well, I suppose we, as a school, out of fairness to our students and our parents, and that we're doing everything in our power to keep costs down across the board. I mean, where they're trying to pay the heating bills and that in the winter, and even with the textbooks, we're always encouraged now, we need to cut down the photocopying bills. Schools are trying their absolute best to keep costs down for parents and families, and we are trying our absolute best to use the IT grants available to us to provide as many devices and that as we can, until we may have no choice but to introduce some kind of mandatory devices for our school. And I suppose that's probably one of the reasons where we have held off. We're trying everything in our power beforehand. But having conversations like this, remaining solution focused, we're educating society. This is what our education system looks like
this
now.
This is how it works.
And there could be somebody listening in here now who has an idea, and they might get in contact with a local school.
Yeah.
Or maybe they might donate devices like we were lucky enough to get one set donated.
From somebody.
And, tech companies do upgrade.
Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com. Interestingly as well, just to say, where you have the mandatory one-to-one device devices within schools, the vast majority, 90% of the schools that have this, they were multi-denominational schools, multi-denominational patronage. So your educate togethers seem to be the schools most likely to have the mandatory one-to-one devices, according to this ESRI report that's out today. There were also higher rates in all boys' schools compared to the co-ed schools, a difference of between 42 to 30%. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Amy, Mary, also Steve, Owen and Emer, thanks a million for getting in touch with us today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.